The Old Testament reading is taken from Psalm 16. Please read responsibly. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you.
As for the holy ones in the land, they are noble, in whom is all my delight. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot.
The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a good heritage.
I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me.
I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved.
Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. You show me the path of life. The New Testament reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable garland, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified. Here ends the reading.
Good morning. Good to see you all here this morning. I hope you don't mind. I'd like to share with you about my midlife crisis. Anybody here have a midlife crisis yet? All right. So that's good. I see I'm in safe environment again here this morning. But for my midlife crisis, I decided to run a half Ironman triathlon, off-road triathlon, which meant that was a 1.2-mile swim in a 60-degree lake. Then I got on a mountain bike and mountain biked over through the mountains and trails for 56 miles. And then I got off my bike and I ran up a mountain and down the other side 13.1 miles, a half marathon at the end. It took me 9.5 hours to get through that race. It was a race of endurance. It was a race of perseverance. And I want to share some of the lessons that I learned training for that race and other races, because I believe that just as Paul was saying this morning, that our Christian life is a race. Did you know that? Did you know that the life, the spiritual life that we are engaged in is a race? That we, in the same way Paul is saying, that just as we train physically as athletes to race, we also need to train spiritually for the Christian life. And so I find a lot of parallels. I find a lot of things. The lessons that I learned in training physically, I believe also apply for us in training spiritually as well. So I want to share a few of those lessons with you this morning. So if you do have a pen and paper, probably this is a good Sunday to take notes, to kind of keep track of where I am and follow along if you want to do that this morning. But the first lesson that I want to share with you is the first lesson is when we're training, we need to know what the goal is. We need to have a goal in mind. You know, when I was preparing for this particular race, I had to go out and I actually went and looked at the course and I had to see what I was up against. I had to see what the finish line, where the finish line was. I had to see how long I had to swim and how long I had to bike and how long I had to run. Those were goals. And actually, I had to learn to train beyond those goals and prepare even beyond what I was going to encounter in the race. It was interesting. So I had to know what the goal is. Goals in the Christian life are important as well. We need to have goals to say, this is where I'm headed. Because if we don't have a goal, we probably won't do anything. We'll just stand still. We won't grow. We won't flourish. We won't develop. So what do you think the goal of the Christian life is? What is the goal of the Christian life? I would say that the goal of the Christian life is to become like Christ. That's the goal. It's not necessarily a quantitative goal like the miles were, but it's a qualitative goal. It's to become like Christ, to take on the characteristics, the behaviors, the example of Christ in our own lives, and to become more and more like Christ. It is a progressive thing. It is a training effort that we need to continue to work on to become more like Christ. Goals are important to the Christian life, and they become qualitative. Goals like loving your enemy. Goals like joy and peace and gentleness and self-control. Those are the characteristics of the Christian life. You know, I often think, I often attend funerals. And funerals, in a sense, are the finish line of this life. And I often hear people talk and share at funerals, and I very rarely hear people talk about accomplishments. I mean, they're listed somewhere. There's an accomplishment here or there. But oftentimes, I hear people's lives defined not by their accomplishments, but by who they were as a person, those qualitative things, those behaviors, those characteristics, those things about them that people respond to. Those are qualitative. Those are things. And I don't know about you, but when we reach that finish line in this life, what are people going to say about us? What are people going to say when we hit that finish line about how we lived our lives, how we lived out our faith in Jesus Christ? What would people say? That becomes a goal, a finish line for us to continue to look at. Second lesson is that we need to train in multiple disciplines. You know, when I was training for the triathlon, I had to not only learn how to swim, I had to learn how to bike, and I had to learn how to run. I had to practice multiple disciplines. And I found out that as I practiced multiple disciplines, and one of the things I loved about doing triathlons is because I felt like I became more well-rounded. Because if I just swam, I only developed certain muscles. If I just bike, I develop another set of muscles. And if I just run, I only develop another set of muscles. But I trained physically in all those areas. I began to develop more well-rounded as an athlete at that time. I think the Christian life is the same way. You know, even when I first decided I was going to do a triathlon, I actually weighed about 260 pounds. And I was on high blood pressure medication, high cholesterol medication, and medication for gout. And I said, I've got to do something about this. I have to do something to transform my body back to where it needs to be. And so that's when I began thinking about training and exercising and changing how I was physically. I can tell you today that I'm no longer on blood pressure medication, I'm no longer on cholesterol medication, I'm no longer on gout medication. Because I began to experience a physical transformation in my body to get back to where God wanted me to be physically. The same is true of our spiritual lives. If we're going to experience a spiritual transformation in our lives, we're going to have to train in multiple disciplines. We're going to have to exercise our spirits and our souls in a way that we will develop and be transformed as well and become healthy followers of Christ. You know, I actually walked, as I was going through that transformation time, I actually, you know, you start to see changes in your physical body, and I was saying to my wife, you know, hey, look, I got 4-pack abs. And because I've never had a six-pack, never will. But I said 4-pack abs, and she just kind of laughed and said, well, it's better than a keg. So I thought that was good. You know, that's good encouragement, so I kept training. So we need encouragement along the way to train and to develop and to be sinned. But as you see a physical transformation, I believe that as we practice multiple spiritual disciplines, we will see a spiritual transformation in our lives. Disciplines like study and prayer and small groups and disciplines like fasting and solitude and silence and journaling and even the grace of communion and the practice of personal worship and public worship on a regular basis. These are all spiritual things, spiritual exercises that we do that help us grow spiritually and develop spiritually well-rounded followers of Christ. Next lesson is number 3, train for the long haul. I watch, and not only watch, but I actually get involved with this. I realize that my life, I don't know if you feel this way, but my life is a series of sprints. Have you ever felt like that? I'm sprinting from one thing to the next. Whatever's on that schedule, whatever's on that calendar, my life becomes a series of sprints. And if I'm all the time rushing and sprinting in my life, and then I wonder, why am I so tired? Why am I so worn out? It's because we haven't really learned what it is to pace ourselves for the long haul. Our life is a marathon, not a sprint. Our spiritual lives are a marathon, not a sprint. And a lot of times we approach it, though, as it's just a sprint. Well, I'm going to sprint, and then I'm done. And I'm going to sprint, and I'm done. But really, in an endurance long-term race, we have to learn to pace ourselves along the way and find a healthy pace so that we will actually survive the long haul. So we need to pace ourselves and train ourselves for the long haul. You know, one other thing, I was in that particular race I shared with you, and I came to a point, I'd finished the swim, and I'd gotten on my bike, and I'd biked the 56 miles, and I was at the run. I was about 3 miles into the run toward the last leg of this race. 3 miles in, I had another 9 to 10 miles to go ahead of me, and the next 3 miles was all uphill, up over this mountain. And I remember stopping. I mean, I was done. I was exhausted. My body was saying, enough. And I stopped and I thought to myself, what are you going to do? Because it'd be a lot easier for me to walk 3 miles back to where I just came from, where the car was parked, where the food was, where the water was. Or I could keep going. And it was a real temptation to say, I'm just going to walk back. I'm done. We call that, when you're training and you're in a race, we call that hitting the wall. You hit a wall physically. You can't go any further. And I thought about quitting. You ever feel like quitting? You ever feel like giving up? Maybe on life, on the Christian life, on whatever you're encountering in life. You ever feel like giving up? Well, there's two things that got me through. One was a verse out of Philippians, which said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so I began to repeat that verse in my mind. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Join me in that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the other thing I began to do was this. I began to get a vision of what it would be like to cross the finish line. You see, I had to begin to think about how is it going to feel when I cross that finish line. My wife, my kids, my family is there. Other people are there cheering me on. I knew that if I could get to that finish line, if I could envision what the finish line was like, I could make it. And so I began to hold on to that vision of what it would be like to cross the finish line. Do you have a vision for what it's going to be like to cross the finish line of this life? Of who's going to be there at that finish line and what they're going to say when you cross that finish line. I know that from Scripture we know that God, when we cross that finish line, wants to say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't know about you, but I want to hear those words when I cross the finish line. I want to make it across that finish line. In fact, I want to be standing tall when I cross that finish line, knowing that I ran the race with perseverance and I ran as well as I could. There will be times when we'll stumble and fall, but in the end, I want to cross that finish line knowing that I endured the Christian race and lived the life that God had called me to live. And that ties into the next lesson. The next lesson I learned was if you don't stay focused, you risk falling. If you don't stay focused on what's happening on the trail ahead, you'll fall. You will fall. You and I will fall. There are rocks and roots and logs and streams and mud and dirt and other people along the way that will bump us out of the way in the race. And if we get distracted, if we don't stay focused, we'll stumble, we'll fall, we'll get off course. And I think about that, you know, in Proverbs it says this. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. See, when our heart gets distracted away from God, that's when our courses also get altered. When our hearts are no longer attuned and focused on the things of God, then our trail begins to go off course. I actually was in another race, and I was running, and I wasn't paying any attention to when I came to a split in the trail. And there was actually a sign there with an arrow that said race course, and it went that way. But because I wasn't paying attention, I went straight on. And so I began to alter my course, and I began to add distance to the last run of the race. Fortunately for me, there was somebody else that did the same thing and was headed back. And the same, I said, hey, I think you're going the wrong way. I was so thankful that I ran across somebody else who had made the same mistake and said, hey, you're going the wrong way. And so we ran back and got on the course together. He had gone 1.5 miles out of his way and added 1.5 miles to his race. I didn't end up doing that because of his mistake, and I learned from his mistake. But see, that's what happens when we don't stay focused. We'll get off course in the Christian life. And it's always great to have others in our lives that will bring us back on course, that will bring us back to where God wants us to be. And that's the reason for the last lesson. The last lesson is we need to find training partners. Find training partners. I know that when I was first started to set out, I had this goal in mind. I met a guy, his name was Herb, and Herb was number one in the world in half Ironman triathlons in his age group, and he was number three in the world in his age group in full Ironman triathlons. He went to Hawaii every year and ran the Hawaii Ironman National Championship, World Championship. And so I said, here's a guy that knows how to run the race. And so I said, will you coach me? Will you help me understand how to do this? And so I met with him regularly to help me understand how to run a triathlon and do it well. So it was important for me to find a coach, someone who would coach me through that. It was also, the other thing I did was I found training partners. I began to meet with other people who were doing similar triathlons, and we began to train together. We began to bike together or run together or work out together. It was good to have just a small group of people that I could train with and get to know and that were like-minded and pursuing the same goal that I was. That's important to have that. And the other thing is, I think it's important to have a community. You know, what do you think I did? What do you think, or actually, what organization do you think I joined when I decided to do this race? What do you think? Take a guess. What did I join? All right, somebody fell asleep on me today. You guys awake? If you want to exercise and work out, what do we join? A gym. There you go. There we go. It's all in the phrasing of the question, isn't it? So, I joined a gym because there were other like-minded people in that community that were pursuing similar goals. Now, a lot of people come up to me and say, Pastor, I don't need to go to church. I don't need a faith community. Me and God, we got it all worked out on our own. I don't know any serious athletes who say, I don't need to go to the gym. I don't need to be a part of a working out community, that I don't need to be a part of a faith community. I don't know any serious athletes that train alone. They know they need other people. I think it's true of a faith community. We in the Christian life need our faith community. We need small groups. We need training partners and coaches and mentors and people who will invest in us and help us run the race. That's so important. So I want to challenge us this morning and accept this challenge. I hope you'll accept it. You ready for a challenge this morning? It's not a physical challenge. It's a spiritual challenge. A lot of times I share these things and people go, well, I'm going to go out and run a triathlon now. Thanks. You could do that. That'd be great. I'm not discouraging. But I want to really think about what are the spiritual training, what spiritual training that you and I need to engage in as we live the Christian life. And so here's where I want you to think about. What is the one thing that you feel God would like you to do to help develop your spiritual muscles? We've got God's gym right here, literally, don't we? This is God's gym. God, this is God's. This is God's place for us to develop and to grow as followers of Christ, our faith community? Is there a small group that you need to join? Is there a Bible study? Is there a partner, a prayer partner that you need to go and ask if you'll pray on a regular basis? Is there a discipline that you want to put in place in your life, a discipline of fasting or a discipline of prayer or a discipline of meditating upon the scriptures or journaling or silence or solitude? Or maybe you just need to slow down and stop sprinting to the next thing and giving space and time for God to work in your life. I don't know what it is for you, but you know, and God knows. And so I want to just encourage you to do that one thing that's going to help you grow in your relationship with God. Amen? Amen.